The Holy Gospel according to John. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day this week and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. There's an expression, "You must first be loved in order to love." That is what these readings teach us today. Have you ever encountered someone who suffered so much hate and ire that is all they espoused? Perhaps that is all that person experienced in their life. Perhaps they have not yet encountered the unconditional love and grace of Jesus. Paul is a good example in our Christian history. A law-abiding Jew, he would persecute Christians until he was met by the grace of Jesus. In being met by the crucified and risen Christ's love and grace, he then repented from his persecution of Christians. And through his experience of grace, he became the eager evangelist, willing to suffer and bear the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sin and the reconciliation of the world back to God, even if that meant imprisonment. That's the transforming power of God's love and grace in Christ Jesus. We must first know God's unconditional love and his power to make all things new in baptism, in the face of undeniable truth that, like Judas, we all have sold out Jesus and our sisters and brothers for the things the world tells us are important: money, power, fame, self-indulgence, self-preservation, and self-righteousness. Yet God's story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is God's love story for you and the world, and God's power to make all things new in baptism, where we are claimed by God by name, and the labels we and the world give ourselves and others are replaced with the identity that we are God's beloved, forgiven children in baptism. Where, having been tied to Jesus' death and resurrection from the cross, we are washed clean of our sin. And we are made new to begin again, day in and day out. In baptism, having been sealed with oil and marked with the sign of the cross of Christ, we too, like Christ, are anointed to bear good news of Christ's grace to our neighbor by loving and serving our neighbor as Jesus first loved and served us. On the night of the Last Supper, which we will commemorate on Maundy Thursday during Holy Week, Jesus shows us how to love our neighbor as he loves us, as he washed the disciples' feet before the feast. The feast was usually eaten lounging on the floor or couches, reclining back with your legs out. After walking in sandals on a long dusty road, the task of foot washing was reserved for servants and women of the house. Both servants and women were viewed as property in those days and had no rights. Yet Jesus chose Mary to anoint him for his mission to reconcile all people back to God through his journey to and from the death and from death on the cross in Jerusalem. In church history and art, Maryam Magdala is depicted as a prostitute with flowing red hair and off-the-shoulder shirt. It is now known, after scholarship has studied, that the prostitute that Jesus encountered and forgave, and the Mary who sat at his feet listening to his teachings, witnessing the resuscitation of her brother Lazarus, anointing Jesus for mission, and the first to see him resurrected and share the good news with the disciples, is a conflation or a melding of stories. Yet in the history of faith, the world tends to view women as either sinless, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, or sensually sinful, made to be objects and a means to an end, rather than the way God views them, as beloved, forgiven children of God, made in the image of God, and anointed for love and service to God and neighbor in baptism. Messiah is a Hebrew word translated as anointed. Close to the Passover celebration of the Jews, Mary anointed the anointed. In this text in the Gospel of John and the Easter resurrection text in the Gospel of Luke, we see that God has a radical view of the power that women hold. Whereas throughout much of Western history, the Pope, a male, crowned the king, another male, or vice versa. Here, Jesus is anointed or given power by a woman from the countryside, from the working class, from the laity, who had first received Jesus' love and grace in her encounter with him. All the labels that the world gives young girls and women in the days of old and today have been replaced by the love and grace first received by Jesus in baptism. In those days, wearing one's hair down was seen as sensual and prohibited. Yet Mary's use of her hair and expensive perfume that cost a year's worth of salary is an example of how being loved first by Jesus transforms us to love God and our neighbor as God loves us in the world. Not only are we given a new identity in baptism as God's beloved, forgiven children, who are continually being made new through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are also given a new value system that is counter to the world's value system. The world will tell us to look at women that they should be seen as objects of pleasure or a means to an end. But Jesus tells us that all people, including women and girls, are made in the image of God, equally valued and loved and empowered by our anointing and baptism to use the gifts, talents, time, money, and love to bear the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Unfortunately, the objectification of women still occurs today. We know about the Me Too movement, and you just need to scour the internet or hear a story which I recently heard about a sexual assault of a young fifth grade girl who was grabbed on her bottom by a young boy saying, "I'm gonna get your good good." The sex slave trade and other ways the world chooses to oppress women through microaggressions, where we try to control them by telling women how they should dress or how they should wear their hair, is a way to put them in their place. A common misstep in dealing with the sin of sexual assault is victim blaming, or blaming women for being sensual rather than taking accountability and seeing one's own sinfulness in the way we give in to our selfish desires and thereby hurt others. Friends, I realize this law is hard to hear, as is introspecting about our broken state during the season of Lent. Yet this text is good news for all of us, and through the law is necessary to shine a light on how dirty the room is, so that the gospel can clean us all up through the waters of baptism, making all things new. Having daughters, mothers, aunts, sisters, nieces, girlfriends, significant others, and wives, we can see how the world tells us to view and treat women, and through this text be empowered to view and treat them differently. Like the new phone I saw a commercial yesterday, the Galaxy S10e, that shares its power with other phones, our baptism enables us to share power with all our sisters and brothers. There is none that needs to control all the power, as the Holy Spirit distributes gifts and faith where it wills. Rather than living into the honor-shame system of Jesus' culture of the day, and perhaps some bad theology we have encountered in our own faith formation, we are living in the light of Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sin, where in baptism we are made new when we lay our sin at the feet of Jesus. The labels that the world gives us are replaced by the identity we have in Christ. We are all God's beloved, forgiven children. Through his love and grace, we can learn more about how God views the world and how we are called out of our tombs to view women, girls, and all people as God views us. Beloved and empowered for mission by God's grace, like Paul. In today's story, the world's value system is juxtaposed with God's value system. Judas, an example of the world's value system that seeks to take money from the poor in order to line his own pockets as he stole from the treasury's purse, labeled Mary as wasteful, feigning his care for the poor by putting her down as she poured her love for Jesus out, by laying her time, money, and love at Jesus' feet in response to his love and grace that she first encountered. Jesus confronts this disingenuousness by telling him, "The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me." In doing so, he is not condoning that we have a world of hunger and suffering, but rather that the time to recognize who Jesus is and what Jesus does for us in order to empower us to help transform the world through his love and grace comes before we can be transformed to service for our neighbor. As you come to the table of Holy Communion, Christ has set a banquet for all, and you are all invited to taste and see that the Lord is good, and that his steadfast love, grace, and mercy never end. Remember that in knowing Judas would betray him, his disciples would abandon him, Peter would deny him, he was strengthened by love poured out for him when Mary anointed him, on account of the love she first received from him, so that he might make his journey to Jerusalem and bear the cross, so that you and I and all people might be reconciled back to God, and the world might be transformed by the outpouring of the love Jesus gave us in giving up his life for us and for the sake of all people. Then, having been strengthened by that love and grace in Holy Communion, go out and share the good news with your neighbor and remember the poor.